Good evening, James McKenney here with my Science Hour, March 13th, 2014. An interesting show tonight. I'll be talking about health electric cars, a very interesting thing going on with electric cars, trying to prevent you from buying them. Amazing. I'll be talking about the cancer issue. Some very enlightening issues came up this past week. And I have some listener email I'll be responding to, a lot of topics to cover tonight. And all I can tell you is that when we look back on what the government agencies have done over our lifetimes, it is just astounding. I mean, it's astounding and it's horrific. Everything, and this is, I can say this unqualified, everything government has done has been a lie, a complete misrepresentation of the truth for somebody's best interest. Some business entity that's gotten its hand in the back pocket of politicians, whether it's the medical industry, whether it's the pharmaceutical, the auto, the oil, the timber industry, go on and on, wherever you want to look. International politics, whether it's Latin America, whether it's Russia, whether it's the Mideast, somebody's monetary best interest is being served. If it's a country that wants us to be diversified and welcome all people but does not welcome anybody else in its own country, that is trying to steal land so it can expand, this is just unbelievable what has gone on in government, not to mention, well, I could go on and on, but anyway, here is a listener email regarding Coca-Cola in Australia has been given the rights to extract water. Let me pull this email up so I can read the exact locations, etc. Okay, so here is the email. It says, Dear Jim, add this to your list of latest water theft by global corporations. Coca-Cola has a lease to extract water from groundwater at Springbrook. This is in Australia. And they don't have to pay a cent. Coke has had approval for the operation since 2006, but residents say the Springbrook's creeks and streams have never looked worse. Even after recent rain, the iconic Purling Brook Falls looked more like a trickle yesterday, while other nearby watercourses have gone from cascading creeks to stagnant swamps as Coca-Cola continues to extract thousands of liters of water every day. Saris Ash, this is the name of a person, Saris Ash has lived on a mountain for more than a decade and said immediate action was needed. They are threatening the World Heritage values of Springbrook National Park, she said. A Coca-Cola spokeswoman yesterday said the Springbrook operation followed guidelines. Oh, isn't that convenient? Followed guidelines. Wow. Aren't they special? Okay, and then the CCA extracts groundwater from the site in Springbrook area and is compliant with conditions set by the Gold Coast City Council, she said. Oh, isn't that just slick? They're just following guidelines, taking free water and selling it to you, the public, and destroying the environment in the meantime. Okay, so at any rate, that's from a listener. I have another listener email here sent in about earthquake lights. Now, let me give you a little background. Back in the mid-90s, I was contacted by a group of Russian scientists from the University of Novosibirsk in central Russia. I always have a hard time saying those Russian words. But at any rate, the issue was atmospheric lightning, atmospheric electricity, and ground electricity. The atmospheric scientists, headed by Alexei Dmitriev, were studying ground electricity, atmospheric electricity, and space electricity. They were the first to discover and view and study tornadoes on the sun, on the surface of the sun. You can see these tornadoes racing across the surface of the sun. So they were studying all of this. They discovered my work, and the work was translated into Russian. They started having regular meetings, and interestingly enough, a side offshoot of this was that the psychology department, also at the same university, got wind of my work and started using it in the analysis of patients, and actually set up a foundation of electric connections between the planets, the electrical conditions that I talk about, the same conditions that drive weather in the solar system and on our planet Earth, the same conditions that affected humans, interestingly enough. But anyway, back to Dmitriev and his group of scientists. They were studying atmospheric and in underground electricity, and they were measuring electrical effects around earthquakes. So all of this was going on, discovered and studied back in the 90s. Well, isn't it interesting that all of a sudden, here we are in 2014, of course, ignoring all of that work, the American scientists now are waking up to this. Some guy in a laboratory with a box full of flour noticed that if there's a crack in the flour, as the crack proceeds, there's a small electric voltage that is generated, and they're mystified. It's just, I can't believe electricity around flour in a box when it separates. Well, gee, most farmers could have told you that 100 years ago. But this is just an amazing new discovery for the American scientists. Isn't that wonderful? And so anyway, they published this now, and I'm not going to go through all of the details, but the whole issue of atmospheric electricity, of solar electricity, and by the way, NASA, in its infinite wisdom, discovered tornadoes on the sun a couple years ago and started publishing it like it was an amazing new discovery. This is what happens in Western science. They're oblivious to anything else that goes on. If it doesn't happen in their little ivory tower, they don't know about it. They don't study it. And if they discover something, it's brand new. The world, they're trying to set the world on fire with old news. Anyway, let me cover a couple other issues here. The sun, again, is flatlined. We are past the solar maximum at this point. And I get a kick out of spaceweather.com trying to build up that we had an aurora at the North Pole the other day. It was not predicted. They don't know why, but there was an aurora up there. Gee, auroras go on 24/7 at the North Pole, if they haven't figured that out yet. And so no big deal. But the point is that they are now talking about almost X flares. Well, gee, that would be an M-class flare then, wouldn't it? Yeah, but they are talking about, well, just this flare almost got to the X flare stage. You see how they're just still trying to pump that the sun is really pumped up. And remember, a long time ago, and for a long time, I've been telling you that NASA, one of their goals, and plus these mouthpieces for NASA like spaceweather.com, trying to promote that the sun could really blast us and knock out our electric grid. Well, and what I've always said is that will be the trigger point for them to pull the electric grid and shut it down. And they're trying to pump up the public mentally, prepare them for a solar outage due to a solar flare. But the reality is, the sun ain't cooperating. The sun is not doing anything. In fact, even during comet visits recently, over the past couple of years, the comets have not been producing as big of flares as they used to, simply because the sun's energy, the solar capacitor, is not as strong as it has been traditionally, like back in the 90s with Hale-Bopp. The sun was booming, and we were seeing the effects on Earth. But even then, we didn't have massive power outages due to this. The power outages can happen, but even if it happened, it wouldn't be worldwide. And so when they're desperate to have an event, so they can pull down the world power grid. But there's a little problem. Even greedy people have motivations, and they have double motivations. If they pull down the power grid, then they're going to have a problem with the people who are, they're greedy people out there who are making money. Well, gee, they can't make money if the power grid is down, right? So they have a little bit of a conflict of interest. But the point is that the sun is flatlined. There's not a lot going on. Once again, winter weather is the story of the week. Major winter storm moving through the northeast. And if you looked at the density of this storm, once again, it looks very, very constructed. Very constructed. That it was very concentrated within the boundaries of that storm system and did not trickle out anywhere else. And this is something you look for constructed weather, manufactured weather. Was it part of a much bigger global system? And this weather system was not. It stretched from about Iowa off into the northeast when it started and then moved easterly to dump a foot or more all over the northeast part of the United States. But if you looked at the storm, it looked like some kid drew a pencil line around the storm, and that's where the storm was contained. Very much indicative of a man-made condition. And remember that man does not create weather. Man manipulates weather that's already there. Constructed weather is so at any rate, that's what that appears to be, extending the winter. And the people who are dealing with winter are pretty tired of it from the feedback I've gotten, but I don't see this as ending anytime soon. So it'll be interesting to see if we get to May, if we get to the planting season. That's the next question. But at any rate, the sun is at a very low energy state. The solar flares that are coming out from the sun typically are missing us or brushing by us and really have no effect at all. So anyway, just a quick solar update. Let me first discuss an issue here that's come up. It's come up again and again. And there are people claiming to have reliable sources, claiming that there is an asteroid that's going to hit Earth, and they give a time and a date. And I'm not going to honor any specific claims that I've heard that some people say, well, this is, and they're always accompanied by, well, I got this from inside sources, super inside sources, and it's reliable. And we've heard this 100 times, if not 1,000 times. And then they give a date, and then it's going to hit in a specific place. And this is somehow secret information. All I can say is that this has happened so many times, and of course, much of it is to prepare the public so if something ever does happen or some information, real information, ever does come out, then you will be so tired of hearing people crying wolf. There's a bunch of idiots out there still claiming that Planet X is in the solar system. There's no indication that there's a Planet X in the solar system anywhere. I do my own studies. I don't have any information that there's real Planet X out there, yet there's people emailing, oh, Planet X is here. Oh, there was an asteroid that flew by Earth. That's proof that Planet X is here. Just garbage. Garbage. So at any rate, I was asked on the John Moore Show Wednesday morning if I had an opinion about an asteroid that was coming supposedly in September, etc. And, you know, the issue here is the following, and it's very simple. It's very simple. anybody who makes a claim that they have information, it has to be accompanied by data. There has to be an orbit. There has to be orbital data. There has to be a presentation that allows independent third parties to locate this object and verify it. Without that, it's like taking a picture of a bird on the snow and saying, this is a bird at the South Pole. There's nothing verifiable about it, if you understand what I mean. So when people who are really amateurs at presenting astronomical data come out and give information like, oh, it's going to hit here and this is the date, well, no, that's not the way it works. You have to present your information with data. And there's nothing else I can say about it. Without that, it's just another claim. And if you're giving a time frame, then I guess we all have to wait till that date comes to see if it happens or not. And that's the only thing you can say because they haven't presented any data. But you actually get tired of waiting for all of these events to happen. This started a couple decades ago, literally in the mid to early 1990s. So we're talking a couple decades of this happening every year. People come out, guaranteed inside sources, everything that, you know. But there's no data. There's nothing to corroborate what they're saying. And so, at any rate, that's the bottom line. I am a scientist. I don't have a crystal ball, and there are so many of these claims that come out, but there's a bit of a kind of too much exactness in what they're saying, a date and many times a location. And so the other thing I commented on the John Moore show, and this is something I've talked about many times on my own show here, is that the equipment that is even at the highest level of military supercomputing astronomical observations, where they can track something the size of a basketball out to as far as Jupiter, just about. I mean, it's very exacting. But here's the problem. Getting good measurements of the location of the object, there's errors in all parts of these observations. Okay, so you have satellites in orbit, you have telescopes on the ground, you have infrared, you have visible light data, and this is all coming into supercomputers, and then you put together, say, a couple hundred of observations over the course of a month or two. All of this data has a factor of error associated with it. And there's nobody that has the equipment to predict 6 months or 9 months out in advance a particular time and place and location and exactly where these objects are going to go, because they can have their orbits altered by a little bit. And a couple inches difference. Now, in a couple inches per second difference in velocity and a couple inches location, as far as their exact location difference in data back 6 months ago, could have a tremendous effect 6 months down the line. This is the problem. So you don't have the data that would predict those kind of things. That's the bottom line. And so wherever the people are getting the data, they have to come out with real data. And what I've seen, they're not. So I'm not going to waste any more time on this. Just beware of all of the, and this is going to go on and on and on. This is not going to end now or in the future. This is going to be constantly with us. So those are the factors. When you see a guy gave me some data and he's reliable, well, buddy, that doesn't tell me anything. I'm sorry. We've heard thousands of these. You need data. You need to present it in the way that astronomical data is presented. And if you don't do that, put yourself in a box with another 1,000 other people who have made the same type of claims. Please don't waste our time. because you don't have real data. And if you have this amazing secret source, tell your sources to go back to their sources and get real data that's verifiable. Other than that, hey, put yourself in a box with 1,000 other people that have made claims and have not come true because you don't have real data. End of story. Period. Okay, the next story is just mouth-dropping. I mean, this is just amazing. New Jersey just passed a law outlawing Tesla Corporation, the Tesla Automobile Corporation, outlawed it from having commercial outlets in New Jersey. Talk about protecting big oil and big auto industry. Ohio is about to do this. It's already happened in Arizona, and I believe Texas is the other state. Don't quote me on the Texas. I think Texas is the other state. But there was another state that outlawed it. Having a retail direct sale to the customer storefront is now illegal in New Jersey. Where do these people get off outlawing a company from doing business and selling their product to the consumers? And it's not due to a faulty product. It's not due to dangerous conditions for the public. It's because they're cutting in on the business of the big Joes out in the car industry and the oil industry, because Tesla has an amazing product. And they have tried everything. They've tried bad-mouthing it. They've tried saying, no, the car can't go for long distances. Tesla even has its own maintenance shops, so you can go in for maintenance. But I'll be honest with you, there's not a whole lot to do with a Tesla automobile because they're going to run forever. There's no oil change. There's no grease. I mean, there's no timing. What does a standard car need? An air filter change? You don't have one on an electric car, dude. What's there to maintain on an electric car? There's an electric motor and you got some batteries. Okay, well, the batteries go bad in 5-6 years. Well, you put in a new battery pack. Who knows? By then, the batteries will be lasting longer and maybe they'll even have capacitors that never run out. This is putting a dent. The big oil and big auto industries are running scared. This is the thing that should have happened at the turn of the 1900s. If you look, the big European auto manufacturers around 1900 had electric cars, and they were putting them online. They were available. We had Tesla pulling down unlimited free electrical energy with his Tesla Tower. They have been harboring this business and forcing it down the throat of the public for years. The average person on a daily basis would be well within the range of a Tesla automobile on a single charge. And so, obviously, this is causing some fear and panic, but not just in the oil industries. This goes all the way to the top of the European bankers because they use oil to control. Without that oil control, they have lost a factor in their control. The other big control factor coming up and online already is water. That's what my water book is all about. My ebook, Water, is something, if you have not read it, you have to read it. It's on my webpage, but it talks about the control of water. It's not a fun facts, National Geographic, here's how many gallons of water we have in the world book. No, you can get that information somewhere else. This is a book about who controls water, who's making the movements, and how it affects you and what you can do about it. Not only is there a problem, but it gives you a whole laundry list of points that you can accomplish in your life to become water independent. Water is another major control factor. But this is just absolutely beyond outrageous that a government of a state would ban a business from selling its product in the state because it competes with a major industry, oil and auto industry. And remember, around the turn of the 1900s, most cities had a well-developed rail system of trolley cars. All over the Midwest, the Northeast, the West Coast, San Francisco still maintains theirs. New Orleans still maintains their system of streetcars, they call them there. But remember, this was all over. There were up to 10, 20 years ago, you could still see the tracks in many city streets. They've now been taken out and covered up. But that was a day when public transportation, you just walked to a street corner, got on the streetcar, and it took you, you could go any place in town. Literally on public transportation. That was all done away with so that the modern automobile, what a disaster, the modern automobile, and what a disaster for third world countries to not have public transportation, good public transportation for the general public, where you have to drive cars. You go to any big third world country city, any major city in a third world country, and the pollution is a disaster. So at any rate, I won't go on and on about that. I want to get to the main science topic tonight, which I'll be talking about health. Let me see if I have any other major topics to cover. Okay, if you haven't heard about this, Windows XP, which probably doesn't affect many people now, but there's an installed base of Windows XP users. That's the operating system that came before Windows 7, Windows 8, Windows Vista, which of course was a giant disaster. Windows 8, very unstable, very much over-programmed for what it does. And most people want to do email, they want to do a couple other things, so these operating systems have just grown into giant pigs that bog down your system, that they're doing all kinds of things that most people have no interest in. Most people just want to do what normally do on the computer. And also all of this update operation where you're updated daily. What if you bought a car and every day you had to take it into the car mechanic to get a new update so the thing ran right? I mean, why do we allow this computer company to run our computers? This is absurd. And of course, the whole issue with Billy Gates is when he got in trouble with the Gov a few years ago, he was belligerent about not letting the government come in and put all the back doors and the government snooping hooks into his software. Well, they took Billy to the cleaners, and like a lot of people, Billy got religion. Billy, all of a sudden, he realized that he couldn't combat the big, even though he was the richest man in the world, he couldn't combat the people who were really rich, the people that printed all the money he owned. And so they took him aside and they said, Bill, you know, just like they did with the Clintons, with other people, and they said, Bill, you know, you got to play ball with us. And if you don't, you know, things are not going to look real good for you. If you do, gee, you're going to, you know, all kinds of great benefits will come your way. So Billy decided to play ball with the big guys. And so all of a sudden, his bennies started to go through the ceiling. He got his company back. Windows was a big success. It was put in all the computers. He got to buy into a government installation, telescope, major telescope installation in South America. Gee, I wonder why Bill would want a telescope in South America. Maybe for his own personal Planet X search. You know, he's part of the SEED, what do you call that, the World SEED Organization. It's up in the Arctic where they're the seed-saving, the SEED Vault, that's what it is. He's part of that. I mean, Billy got, it just opened up all kinds of great doors for Billy when he tumbled like an old, folded like an old suit and gave over his software access to the NSA. That's when Billy started to succeed. And so you can see the chain going up the ladder there of influence. And so this, now that's why Windows is put in all of the computers and all of the daily ups. Who knows what they're putting in your computer? Good grief. They're every day loading more and more stuff into your computer. They don't tell you what they're loading. It's just, oh, update number such and such. Okay, isn't that swell? Anyway, my recommendation, because a lot of people are getting dumped from XP, which was really the one stable operating systems that Windows had, simply because it was around a long time. It was easy for other companies to interface. Windows, when it went to Vista in 7 and 8, wanted to take over all of the audio-visual parts of your computer, and then all of the other companies that did audio-visual were squeezed out of the business, basically, because why would you buy their software to add on when Windows was doing it the same thing for you? You know, picture editing, all of that other stuff. So basically, they not only allowed Billy to dominate the market again, but they squeezed out everybody else. And so all of these other companies simply went away one by one. But the point is that all of this upgrade baloney going on, allowing the government to snoop through your operating system into your computer. Let me explain something, and this is from someone, myself, who has designed computers from the ground up in the industry, to some of the most complicated computers, telecommunications computers in the world. I had my hands on and had a very top-level hand in producing and maintaining these as a systems engineer, both software and hardware. And let me tell you something. Windows is a pig. It's a overwritten piece of software, and it takes up a huge part of your computer. It's totally unnecessary. The operating system should be a kernel in the center that has interfaces that are very easily accessed by other programs, and you should never allow a program to come in and change your settings in your operating system. Email. Somebody can send you an email with something in it and run your computer? What in the world is that about? Well, that's the government running through Billy's software so that they can send you emails and run your computer anytime they want. And that's what the hackers use. It's the same thing that the hackers can find to get into your computer and run your computer. It's just absurd where computing has gone. But it's just like the auto and the oil industry. They want to control everything you do. So at any rate, my advice, get away from Windows. The only other real viable option for the majority of people is a Mac. And they're very stable. They don't have the virus problem. So that's the only thing. Because in 2 years, if you migrate to 7 or 8 or Windows something, whatever version of Windows, you're going to be dumped again. And then you're going to have to probably go out and buy another computer again. So anyway, just a real disaster, this whole computing industry, thanks to Microsoft and Billy Gates folding, getting all his benefits. And that's just like all these other guys that sold Facebook or Twitter or Wikipedia or all of these people that have folded to the NSA and the snoopers and the world takeover. All of these people have gained personally immensely. They've just been ushered into places where they can invest in outer space or whatever, and dumping you, the public, and basically allowing, in all of these factors, allowing those world political entities and the bankers, going up to the world bankers at the very top, the families that control the world, not just here but in Russia and China and every other place on the planet, allowing them to control the public through what should be your private business. I just want to also add a note here. There's a tremendous amount of discrediting for the guy Snowden, who leaked the whole issue of the NSA snooping on the public. That's what really broke the whole issue. So there's a tremendous amount of effort to badmouth this guy and his data, etc. If he didn't do anything else, he made it publicly aware. And this is a huge, that's the only thing you can say. People are questioning whether the data he got is real or this or that. No, he's given data to people, leaders in foreign countries, showing them how the NSA has been snooping on them, and then they went out and corroborated it with their own resources. This is what I'm talking about, third-party verification. So Snowden has been third-party independent verified over and over again. He's the real deal. And they're just trying desperately to badmouth this guy. I've seen a couple articles come out recently trying to badmouth him that don't say anything. They're trying to throw questions or trying to throw misinformation, trying to dissuade the public. Hey, the guy broke the story. He broke it wide open, and it's really causing a lot of problems for the world leaders. Because they were they were keeping this from the public, that they were snooping on everybody in the world, foreign leaders, foreign diplomats, people in foreign countries, and on and on. And it's not for terrorism; it's so that they can protect themselves from the public that's waking up to their baloney, and starting to eye them like the bankers getting thrown off the top of buildings. It's getting kind of weird out there. Let me put it that way. And it's not going good for the hometown team up in the world banking industry. There's a lot of infighting up there. But at any rate, the whole issue of Snowden, the guy broke the story, obviously has real data that he's handed out and had third-party verified. The guy's the real deal. And so that's all you can say about him. And he's done an amazingly tremendous benefit for the world in general, because it's pointed the finger. Remember when he first came out, the NSA said, no, we don't do that, or we just do a little just for terrorists. No, they're snooping on everybody, and that includes you. You know, look in the mirror. That includes you, too. Talking about things like Snowden, by the way, I just came out with my new ebook. It finally got posted, and we are emailing the link, so hang on if you ordered. We're doing all of the links get emailed by hand. They are hand emailed. In other words, the email is constructed based on an order, and the email's addresses are encoded into the books. That's my way of protecting my ebooks. It's my own system. You won't ever know it in your own ebook, but it's a way that if somebody ever starts putting out the ebooks or sending them around or mass mailing or something like that, we can track it back to who originally bought the ebook. And so at any rate, that is all done by hand. So just be patient. If you put in an order, a new release like this always creates a bit of extra work in getting up to speed and all of that. So, but basically, if here's the new book. It's called Breaking RSA Codes for Fun and Profit, and it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek way of saying this is something that happened many years ago. This is the public release of this, how to break RSA codes. And, of course, RSA codes are encryption codes for secure computing that are based on prime numbers. When my book, Calculate Primes, came out probably 6 years ago now, immediately it was recognized that it broke the RSA codes because you could quickly calculate up to very large numbers the prime numbers. And so it was not only the solution of the world's oldest mathematics problem, it also broke the encryption codes that were in military hardware, satellite hardware, encryption and secure banking, etc. And so there was a lot of work that had to take place to try and correct that, and in many cases it's still not corrected simply because people have no idea where all of these RSA codes, encryption codes, were placed, or in firewalls, etc. So at any rate, the new book is allows the average person on the street to understand the whole history of encryption based on prime numbers, how to break the codes, and etc. And this was spurred by actually one of the government troll idiots on the internet, and these are nameless people out there who try and badmouth me anytime my name comes up on an internet blog or something. And on one of them, one guy was praising my book, Calculate Prime, saying how wonderful it was and the groundbreaking work. And one of the trolls, one of the idiot trolls out there, made the comment, well, if he did that, why doesn't he publish the information on breaking RSA codes? And I thought, well, daggone, that's a good idea. So that's what I did. This is a pamphlet. It's a addition to the Calculate Primes book. You do not need the Calculate Primes book to read this. I thought of coupling them together, but then again, it's better to keep things separate, because the new book, Breaking RSA Codes, is in ebook format only, and the Calculate Primes book is only available in print format. So it makes things a little bit complicated, but at any rate, there's three ways that you can buy the new book. First of all, you can go to the sales page down at the bottom with all the other ebooks. $13.95 is the ebook just by itself. Or if you buy the complete set of library of books, or books with DVDs, either the print books or the ebook set, you will get the new book free. It'll be included in the set. Or you can buy any water filter product, and it will be sent to you for free, along with my ebook water. And so if you make any water filter product purchase, even a pair of, say, filter elements or something like that, or the small mini travel emergency water filter, or a big order, whatever you order as far as water filter products, you will get the ebook Breaking RSA Codes for Fun and Profit, and my ebook Water, which goes out with all of the water filter product sales. And so, once again, that's the three ways to buy it. And this is not a major release. I wouldn't call it one. It's not going to make the best seller list, but it's created a lot of interest. And it's very interesting to see the people who only order the ebook. I mean, this is going all over the world. And you can see people at very high-level places that are very interested in this book. But the people who are really in the know knew about this 5-6 years ago. And so at any rate, and also it was based on the NSA having a meeting with the RSA company about a week ago, about 2 weeks ago, actually. And so that spurred me to release this book. It's like one of those things I've got on the shelf. I've had all this information for years. But it's time to release it to the public. The time was ripe. So once again, the new book, the new ebook, Breaking RSA Codes for Fun and Profit. And like I say, you can either buy it $13.95 as a individual book. You can get it with the full book set, or any of the full book library sets, either print or ebook, or with any water filter purchase product purchase on the webpage. You will get it for free, along with my ebook Water. And once again, the webpage, jmccsci.com. It's the only place you can get any of my books. By the way, don't buy my books on Amazon or any reseller. My books are only available on my webpage, end of story. And actually, I'll put this caveat for the people that listen to me on the Scriptures for America, which sponsors the Friday night and Saturday morning airing of this show. Pastor Peters, who of course has passed away now, but his staff there has some of my books. I think they have the Planet X book and the Surviving Planet X Passage pamphlet, and they sell those. They're the only people on the planet who are authorized to sell those two books. But apart from that, nobody else. Don't buy it on Amazon. Don't buy any of my stuff on Amazon, because we've caught people there trying to sell bootleg copies or out of old edition copies or whatever. So yeah, my webpage is the only place to buy my stuff. Simple as that. So once again, the webpage, JMCC, S as in Sam, C as in Charlie, I as in Indigo.com. Seven letters, JMCCSCI.com. Okay, to the main science topic. I always need about 5 hours to do this show, and I only have 1 hour. But the main science topic tonight, I'm going to be talking about health. This is a topic I breached a number of weeks ago. I've been talking about Laetrile many times on my show and the issue, but some major issues have broken the surface of the information industry in just the last week or so. And so this is very important. Wednesday morning, CNN hosted two major articles, and this blew my mind. I looked at this, and remember, I call CNN, I call it Candy Nugget News, because it's owned, Ted Turner owned this network back in the first Gulf War days. Remember, and Saddam Hussein and George Bush were watching CNN to find out where the troops were and where the other guys were, and it was an independent news agency at that point. As soon as the first Gulf War started to wind down, as those first few weeks, the big guys at the top, the European bankers, who were also watching the war on CNN being reported independently, went in and bought Turner out. Now, there's another big money dude, Ted Turner. They bought him out and created CNN, the current CNN, and made it an international headline news agency, but with their twist to it. So when I say Candy Nugget News, that's what it is. It's the banker's news agency to pump information, to twist it for the public. So anyway, Wednesday morning, they air two articles. One is that cancer will increase in the next 20 years by like 57%. And I'm going, what are these people talking about? Where on earth are they getting this information? And, of course, it comes from a number of health organizations related to medicine. By the way, this is linked to Obamacare, because now the average person on the street who's got cancer can come in and say, I don't have any money, buy the lowest cost policy and pay the lowest price for the highest grade of policy, whereas the poor working schmuck that doesn't have enough money to buy insurance probably is buying the lowest priced insurance, getting the least amount of coverage, but paying for all of those people that don't have any money that are riding on the dole. So at any rate, that's just a little side issue. But what the cancer industry is just rubbing their hands, green with just anticipation, is that Obamacare, they will have this immense flood of lower income people, traditionally lower income people who have smoked, drank heavily, and done all the things that are going to cause cancer as you grow older. Those people are now going to become open in Obamacare for cancer treatment. So they are bracing themselves. They're saying, we don't have enough oncologists, we don't have enough doctors, we don't have enough treatment centers to brace ourselves for this wave of this just greasy big wave of cancer patients that's coming down the road. And so that is what the article is about. The World Health Organization is expanding this topic on a worldwide basis. So they are just pig squealing happy about the fact that Obamacare is coming down the pike, where you get to pay for all of those people that have had bad lifestyles, smoking, drinking heavy, whatever it was, and now they got cancer. Gee, big surprise. But the whole point is that a number of weeks ago on the John Moore Show, we just started talking about Laetrile, and the fact that I had run into a guy on my travels who was cured of terminal cancer. The guy had 2 weeks to live. They sent him home. They said, you're going to be dead in 2 weeks. He goes to the New Hope Clinic in Mexico, in 6 months walks out completely cured of all his cancer, no surgery, no chemo, no radiation, simply a natural using the laetril that comes from the seeds of a small apricot. And so anyway, when I met him, he was eating these constantly. And so anyway, that's another whole story, but that brought this whole topic up. A listener just sent in an email, and there's a movie coming out, and this is just hitting the streets, Dr. Moss. Let me get the link for this so everybody can see it. The link is secondopinionfilm.com. It's a Berninsky film, and it features a Dr. Moss, and he goes through, Dr. Moss was the head of one of the national agencies for cancer, and back in the day, long time ago, the Sloan Kettering Institute was given a study to make regarding Laetril, and in fact, just alternative cures for cancer. Laetril came up, the studies were positive, especially with the prevention of cancer. And this doesn't mean you can go out and drink all you want and smoke all you want and take Laetril and not have cancer. No. there's some lifestyle changes that have to go along with this, folks. But the idea is that people who had terminal cancer, many have been cured. And this was actually what Dr. Moss is exposing, is that back then, this is even back in the 60s, the cancer industry realized that if cancer was cured, their cash cow would go away. I had an uncle who died back in the 50s, and he died of cancer. In fact, he died, then his wife died, then one of his daughters died, and the other daughter had to recover from cancer. All of a sudden, the whole family has cancer. There's no other history of cancer in the entire family, except this one uncle with his wife and two daughters. Well, they lived in a suburb of Minneapolis that had a factory, a creosote factory, and they had a hole in the ground, a big pipe that went down, and they were dumping the residue from the creosote production facility. They were dumping it in a hole in the ground. Can you imagine this? And all the people in the area, there was a super high rate of cancer. So they went in and they finally started going door to door to find out what's going on. And this company is dumping the residue of creosote into the ground, into a hole in the ground. Just like 3M, our good buddy up there, 3M over in St. Paul, dumping their chemical sludge from all of their chemical processes out in a farm. They had a farm building out by over by the Hudson River. Or the, not the Hudson, the what is it? The river that there's another river that dumps into the Mississippi River over there. But at any rate, they're dumping chemical sludge in a hole in the ground, and they had just a building that the trucks would drive in. A building, nothing there except a hole and a pipe into the ground, and dumping their chemical sludge in there. Can you imagine this? But anyway, my point is that the radiation chemo treatment is what they used even back in the 50s to treat these people, and of course they died. One of my cousins still alive, and came back and was able to survive this onslaught of first chemical onslaught and then the radiation chemo. But the point is that way back then they knew about Laetril, that Laetril would beef up the body. And when I had my biophysics course at Tulane University, my biophysics course in my graduate work was given by a doctor from the Tulane Medical School that specialized in cancer. And he told us in our biophysics class, graduate level biophysics biomedical class that I took, he said, we know what cancer is. It's the inability of cells to communicate one to the next, because cells in your body are communicating continually. And if they don't see the cell next to them, they start reproducing cells. It's like when you cut your hand, the cells start reproducing until they touch another cell. Then they build scar tissue And eventually, if you take vitamin E and other build up your body's immune system, that scar tissue will eventually go away. So he said, we know what cancer is. We just don't know how to prevent it, but we do know what causes it. Solvents, chemicals in your body, stress is a big cause of cancer, on and on. So, but the issue with Laetrile is that it brings your body back to a healthy state. It's some of these trace elements that are missing. The other thing that Laetrile has is some poisonous aspects to it that the cancer cells bring in, and it's released in the cancer cell and kills them. And that's the theory behind Laetrile. My point is that as we speak, the Brzezinski film is coming out. I believe it's going to be released in March. The book's already online, and there's other books that are associated with this. People have asked me, they ask advice about cancer. They have a loved one that has cancer. I'm not a physician. I'm not a doctor. I'm well trained in issues with health. I've studied this. I've taken, like I say, a biophysics course in my graduate work. So that's something that I have tracked all of my life. So I encourage people to study on this. And don't believe what your doctor says, since your doctor has an agenda that's been pushed onto him, and he's pushing it onto you. I'll just tell you one case, my own personal situation. I had gone to a doctor for a physical many years ago, and the doctor goes, you got cancer. You have prostate cancer. And I'm going, what are you talking about? So he goes and he just railroads me into surgery, chemo, and radiation. And it's all set up. And I'm going, wait a minute. I'm going for a second opinion here. And so I go to get a second opinion, and the doctor tells me, he says, no, those readings mean something totally different. They're misinterpreting your readings, and you have something else, and I'll tell you. And he gave me some basic medication, basically some vitamins, and my readings went down instantly. And he explained that the doctor misread those telling me I had prostate cancer. One of the big issues also is that the tests to test for cancer are probabilistic tests. They say but the American Medical Association is using these to tell people that they have cancer. I have seen studies that show that only 25% of women who are diagnosed with breast cancer actually have any trace of cancer, and it's due to other causes. So women are out there getting treatment for cancer that they don't even have. So at any rate, this is a giant story. I'm about out of time. I suggest one of the biggest things you have to do, though, is drink clean water. And so I'm impressing this on people. That's why I only have water filter products on my page. They're the best at taking out chemicals, etc. Once again, the webpage, jmccsci.com. Go there, understand, and be your own independent source of clean, fresh water. Good evening.